Hey, welcome to The Look Back, my pandemic podcast, or hopefully post-pandemic podcast, broadcasting here from the basement of Newman Media Studios. My name is Keith Newman, and I'm the host of The Look Back. And this is a place where we have some fun conversations with old friends, a few newsmakers, and some rule breakers, all in the name of sharing insights and experiences along with a little bit of levity and fun. I hope you enjoy the conversation, and if you're so inclined, or perhaps even open to some bribery, you'll share this podcast with some friends who might also enjoy it. This episode is sponsored by Estrella, the blockchain-powered cap table and shareholder management platform that allows executives to manage and leverage their company's equity as a recruitment and retention tool, as well as a resource to enhance company culture. Estrella meets all of your shareholder management needs, along with the highest level of customer service and at the best price. Ask to speak with an equity expert or get a demo today of Estrella at Estrella, Estrella.com. Let's go on to the show. Hey, Robin Cohen, head of the W Collective, CEO and founder of this fantastic group. Welcome to The Look Back.
Thank you.
Yeah, so good to have you here. Where am I finding you today? Are you in Utah?
I am in Utah. We are right now parked in Colville, Utah.
All right. Well, that sounds lovely, as Utah always is when I arrive. It's such a clean, crisp environment. I think it's wonderful for entrepreneurs too.
Absolutely. Yes, it is.
We have that great event out there, the Entrepreneur Summit. I forget what it's called. Something about skiing and slopes and stuff.
Yeah, we have a few different things.
And then I try to find a few excuses to go to events so I can ski for a couple of days too in your beautiful mountains.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, for my audience, Robin, you know, for The Look Back, we talk about some technology trends. We talk about some entrepreneurial activities and some things that we're looking for with a mind toward what can we have learned in the past and try to reflect upon and improve upon as we head forward. And what you were doing with the W Collective, I think, was starting to really address those things. For the audience, I'm going to ask you to define the W Collective and its goals and how you're looking at the market and trying to influence some of those trends.
Yeah, so the W Collective, we are focused on elevating women entrepreneurs and women in VC through events, community, and content. We were first launched back in 2019, more focused on being a digital publication. And as luck would have it, the pandemic got the better of us. We had actually done a wonderful kickoff event in January of 2020, right before the Silicon Slopes Tech Summit. And then, as you know, a couple months later, the pandemic reared its ugly head and it just became really challenging to keep it going. And so just kind of like shut down everything after several months, our website, our email. And as we were kind of like moving along 2021, I had a lot of people reach out to me saying that they think that there was a place for W Collective, you know, to come back. And kind of like talking to a couple of people that know me really well, and kind of like my whole history in the women's advocacy space, because I have been doing this for 15 years in five different markets, you know, the common denominator is always events. So community building, relationship building, you know, community events, that kind of thing, bringing the community together. And so I felt that since the pandemic had really, you know, made events challenging, as they were kind of making a comeback, I wanted to jump in first, if you will. And so we had a soft launch in December of 2021 with a more official launch in June of 2022. And since then, gosh, if I have my stats correct, I've done 12 events, partnering with maybe 60 plus different businesses and brands.
Wow.
To an audience of, you know, over like 700 people. And and elevating, by now it's probably like 100 different women. So we've definitely had like a really good run. You know, as we have been dealing with the macroeconomic environment, so we went from a pandemic to kind of, you know, feeling like almost like there was a surge happening, if you will, in the economy. And then all of a sudden things started to tighten up, you know, towards, I'd say, the end of 2022. It's definitely made things more challenging, but really I'm taking this time to just get that much more strategic with what we're doing. You know, how are we serving women entrepreneurs, women in VC, and women in startups? So really kind of just taking a really strategic view of like what that looks like in 2023.
Yeah. And how you measure it too, because I know you, I share your frustration as I look at the data, right? That talks about some of the growth we see in some positions and some companies. And then the overall data comes out and says, investment in female-led startups is down. Investment in diverse-led companies is down. And I keep thinking, this is like that one step forward, two steps back. And we're kind of playing with these false narratives.
Well, it's funny. So here's how I look at it. Obviously in 2022, so 2022, I think started off with a bang and then it shifted. Obviously in terms of like overall percentage, you know, amount of funding that went out there, it wasn't as frothy as 2021, right? And that's across the board, right? No matter what your background is. And so obviously because, you know, funding was down in general, right? Obviously it's going to be down for women, down for, you know, people of color, et cetera, et cetera. Right. So, you know, I was actually waiting around to like get the statistics and I'm like, what is it going to be? And the fact that it's like 1.9% in 2022, down from 2.4, I believe, in 2021, you know, I mean, it's definitely upsetting and frustrating. And yes, it's like one step forward, maybe five steps back. But I actually just put out in my newsletter today, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Harlem Capital, but they did a report on, you know, women founders. So kind of like the state of women founders in 2022. And they actually broke down some of the statistics. So I wanted to share that just to kind of give people a little bit of a clear picture of what was going on. So some of the key findings is that total amount of money raised was $17.9 billion and that the median amount raised was $6.5 million. White women-led companies represent 74% of total companies. So if that gives you like, you know, an inkling of like what that looks like, and 68% of that raised capital. The areas that had the most funding, software, healthcare, biotech, and fintech.
Right.
California and New York represent 56% of the companies and 67% of capital raised. And then finally, only nine investors invested in 10 or more women-founded companies. So that kind of gives you more of a clear picture of like, you know, what does that look like across the board? And some of the conclusions that I made is, you know, one, I would love to see more women of color start, you know, and build companies so that we can skew that 74% of white women-led companies, so we can kind of skew that data. I also would love to see more companies in the Intermountain, or let's say the greater Intermountain West, get more funding. This really kind of validated for me, like why I am focused on the Intermountain West, because clearly most of the funding is still continuing to be, you know, put into companies coming out of California and New York. if I'm going to make a more general statement about like the 1.9%, you know, for me, it's a couple of different things. And again, you know, like I'm not an economist, I'm not an investor. I have been in this, you know, area for a very long time working with women founders. I'm married to an entrepreneur. My in-laws are entrepreneur, you know. So it's definitely a world that I've been involved in for a really long time and I'm very passionate about. One thing is honestly just basic entrepreneurship fundamentals that I feel could be taught so that more women are just better prepared in, you know, managing their businesses and growing their businesses and going for funding, right? So I think that there is a lack of maybe basic education that women are either not seeking out for themselves or it's just not available. The other side of that is, you know, we're still dealing with a very male dominated world. And, you know, I talk about like unconscious bias and listen, everyone's talking about unconscious bias right now. What people I think tend to not understand is that we all have unconscious bias. It doesn't matter who we are, our background, our gender. You just tend to connect with and navigate towards people that have similar views, you know, or have similar experiences, right? So when it's a male dominated world, you know, a male investor is going to naturally connect with a male founder. And so the question is like, how do we maybe change that up? And one thing is we definitely need more women in venture capital. That's like a big call, you know, to action. And so I feel like a certain level of education with more women getting involved with venture capital and even just really maybe having men in the venture capital space have a more open mind towards women founded companies and their potential could also go a long way.
Yeah, I probably feel similar to how you feel and how you're assessing the challenge and the problem. It starts with getting more women in VC. Again, I feel like I'm seeing it, but my anecdotal references don't match the data. Like I keep thinking it's going up, 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 and it just seems like it's somewhat flatter running to catch up. And then there's more female-led companies and more females with diverse backgrounds running companies. Again, I point to all this anecdotal data, up, up, up. Even personally, I'm more involved. And that's happening. But the data doesn't support it too much. And then the same thing on funding of female-led companies. That I don't have as much anecdotal data personally experienced. But I see some things that get highlighted in media. And maybe it gets highlighted because it's such an outlier. I don't know. We're seeing the cracks that will lead to an opportunity, sort of a first big step where women control either a category or a segment or geography or something. Where are you, when you put that strategy hat on that you talked about, where are you starting to aim things?
Well, I mean, in the world of venture capital, you know, the focus has been very heavy on tech, fintech, right? SaaS. I mean, they want a company that has the ability to grow at all costs, right? And so a SaaS company, whatever area they tend to be in, right? But that greater tech SaaS kind of, I mean, that's what they're all focused on, right? So that they get the greatest amount of return on investment, right? And that they can just grow at all costs. And truthfully, I think that we're seeing, how would I put this? We're almost seeing the effects of that, right? Where, you know, we're kind of even questioning, are we going to continue to like blindly go after unicorn type companies, right? With what we're seeing. As more and more data comes out where, you know, unicorn companies tend to be mostly male-led, right? They burn through capital like there's no tomorrow. I feel that maybe it's time to change that. You know, when I looked at that report from Harlan Capital, I mean, again, you saw like fintech, edtech, you know, health and wellness was there. I think that if we are maybe shifting what we're looking for in terms of venture backable businesses, and that maybe it's not going to be growth at all costs and like unsustainable growth, right? And like what that means, maybe we start looking at companies that have more sustainable strategy, right, for growth, where maybe your return on investment is maybe not as great, but it's still a decent return on investment. So I feel like if we maybe shift, right, what we're going after in terms of like the traditional venture backable business, I mean, that would help. Obviously, like, I think that in the world of women founders, it does skew more to, let's say, like the CPG world, right? The consumer product goods world. It just naturally kind of moves in that direction. There are some great companies. Well, here's another thing. So another thing that I put in my newsletter is Inc. Magazine's Female Founder 200 list. And so it's a list of 200, you know, women founders across the country. And I think that if you look at what that's made up of, I think it's a nice mix of, you know, CPG, retail, tech, you know, so on and so forth. I don't know if there's any unicorns among the group, but there might be. So in my mind, I think that we have to maybe change our strategy of like what a venture backable business looks like. And you know, I'm just like trying to think what else. Well, here's one last point I'll make. I wrote a post on LinkedIn about, you know, why do we maybe like have this incessant focus on tech? What are some women founded led companies that are not tech that reached unicorn status? And so the three that I named are Away Luggage, Glossier, which is a very popular beauty brand, and Chief, which is that exclusive women executive membership company. And so none of them are tech. They all reached, you know, unicorn status, 100 million in funding, $1 billion, you know, valuation. Things have changed since then, because this is like 2019. Yeah. But that's just to give you an example of like, you know, maybe we just have to take a step back to see the potential, right? Like, big capital P potential in businesses that maybe are not traditionally venture backable.
Yeah, I would only add to what you said versus you know, argue with anything you said. I think the opportunities and the examples are out there. I think there are dozens and dozens of examples. What I don't think's been established is that fast track to go from concept to MVP to funding, because there are higher hurdles, like the men are running the low hurdles and the women are running the high hurdles, kind of a race. And things might be solved if there was something to help change that, and that it was the women running the low hurdles and the men running the high hurdles. And maybe it starts with some of these phenomenal female philanthropists, that's a tongue twister, but putting together women-only venture-backed funds. Because another thing I hear from other female founders is that they get no break when they go in and pitch a female VC a lot of times, because that partner wants to impress. And you do that in the fund by generating high IRR and you know, other kinds of returns, and not by bringing in a female founder that's doing okay. You're still going for that same kind of return. and you put yourself into greater risk by investing in a female, even if it was the same idea as a male. Does that make sense? So there comes a challenge in that. How do you, okay, take off these barriers and just, you know, do the right thing and change these hurdles, and let's see if we can't mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
And, you know, I don't have any preconceived notions about what's going to work. I'm just tossing ideas with you, of course. I think tech is a big part of what some of those companies you mentioned are. And I think AI is going to be a transformative area. So applying AI across the board might be an area. And all of the AI companies I've seen so far have been male dominated as well. Which is an alarm, you know, but it's a 5-year wave. So 10-year wave, we've been talking about AI already for 10 years, but we're starting to see it really develop. And anyways, maybe there's some toolkits that you're coming out with, or classes. I know cohorts that exist. I know great groups that exist, but just, again, I'm challenged and looking to you and your group for ideas of what's working, what can we help promote? What can we help to change the balance?
Yeah, I mean, you know, what I actually just recently launched last week was the W Collective Slack community. It's something that I've been thinking about for a while, bouncing around the idea with a couple of folks. And then I had, you know, a couple of women entrepreneurs. Well, one actually just posted about it, like, I'm looking for something like this, you know, does it already exist? Can I create it? You know, and I reached out to her and I was like, well, fun fact, you know, I've been wanting to do this for a while. You know, would you kind of help me to promote it, you know, and to get it out there? And that's what we did. And since launching just last Monday, like, we're almost at 100 members, which is fantastic.
Great.
I definitely want to focus in on the Intermountain West, because not exclusive to the Intermountain West, just specific to the Intermountain West, right? So if you're from California, New York, Florida, whatever, that's fine. Like, join us. But I think there's something to be said about what is happening across the greater Intermountain West that I think, like, we're missing. You know, I'm in Utah. I've been here for almost 9 years. What's happening in our ecosystem is, like, nothing short of amazing, right? The companies that have, you know, come here, the companies that are growing here, the companies that have had exits, the type of funding that's coming. I mean, even the amount of unicorns that we have here, like, our ecosystem is on fire. And I know that there is also a lot of activity, you know, in Idaho, in Montana, in Oregon, Washington, et cetera.
Friends are moving. They're all leaving California to go out there.
Well, exactly. So there's something that I'm looking at is, one, I'm here, right? So I'm a part of, you know, that greater Intermountain West. Two, is that migration because of the pandemic and various other reasons, right? Where people are moving from and to. So trying to, like, capture that. But anyways, it's just to say that, you know, I want to at least continue to build community among women founders, women in VC, and women that work at startups.
Right.
Because, one, just because you haven't founded the company, right? Like, if you are working at a startup, I mean, you want to connect with those same people, right? I think women founders having the opportunity to connect with women in VC, I think is huge, right? Because it's about building social capital. So, you know, the more people that you know in the venture capital world, right? When you are ready for funding, wow, it's so helpful that you can say, hey, I know, you know, a handful of women to, like, reach out to, maybe, like, start those conversations. Is that, like, the answer? No, but I think it is helpful because you feel less alone. You can connect with other women that are on the entrepreneurial journey with you. You can possibly connect with women, say you're pre-seed, and you can connect with women, maybe they've had an exit, maybe they've just raised their Series C, right? So I think there's something to be said about bringing the different you know, types of women founders together, right? Like depending upon what level they're at, along with women in VC, et cetera, that bringing all of those groups together, I think is a powerful step in the right direction. And again, to feel less alone, to maybe learn some things, you know, maybe to look at your pitch deck, you know, maybe you need to hire a CTO, right? Like
I think that's what you're going to find too. Sorry to cut you off, Robin. You're on to something really cool. The Slack channel. I'm in a couple of these with different groups, and sometimes it's by job type, and sometimes it's by geography or other kinds of causes or companies. But I love the conversations, and I can see you hosting different topics on a regular basis, and then you know, it sort of crystallizing with a real life event, and having more supported by your media. And I can introduce you to a bunch of partners that would love to participate, both from your region and outside of your region. But counting the number of women that move into VC, and the women are, that are funding female founders, and the number of females that are moving into founder positions and titles, I think are all really valuable metrics. Partner with Harlem, partner with other groups, and try to come up with great data to put a greater shine on this and make it more important, and continue to partner yourself with these other groups. It would be fantastic. I see change happening.
Yeah.
I'm not Pollyannish. I do more of an optimist than a pessimist, though.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we have a long way to go. And that's just the reality. All I can hope is that what I'm doing and creating is just creating less of a lonely journey, you know, less trying to figure things out on your own.
Right.
I think that there happens to be a lot of solopreneurs, so female solopreneurs. And that, you know, because entrepreneurship is brutal, solopreneurship is next level, right? And so, yes, you're right in saying, like, what I've looked at in 2023 is where and how, like, does it make sense to create community? And there's something to be said about creating community online, and then what can kind of be born out of that. So I'm kind of like reverse engineering what I've been doing, because we did a lot of events and that was great, mostly focused in the greater Salt Lake area. I actually just did my first event in the Boulder, Colorado area, and that was awesome, because again, that's going along with my vision of let's expand beyond Utah, let's start to capture the Intermountain West, and let's start to bring all of those different groups and communities together. And then go from there to see, like, okay, how can I better engage, you know, these women among themselves, right? What events are going to make sense? I definitely want to start doing a hybrid, right, where it's a mix of virtual and in person. So, you know, just figuring that out. But the main focus right now is definitely going to be in growing the Slack community, and then just figuring out how to kind of like feed that community, you know, and engage with that community.
Yeah. Robin, that's exciting. Well, I can't wait to follow up with you and watch all of this. I'll add the Slack channel in my promotion of the podcast also, if that's okay.
Sure.
Hey, well, thanks for taking some time on a look back. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
No, and without question, you're on a fantastic journey. I wish you a ton of success.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Look Back. We do appreciate your support, welcome any feedback, and would love it if you would subscribe to this podcast and even consider sharing it with some of your friends. For more information and other cool info, check us out at newmanmediastudios.com.